ku je ta nabrit, ku je nabrit. Kjer je nabrit, čuj, kjer je te tak nabrit, čujte. Kak je to ti nabrit, kaj si ti ja normalno? Kaj si ti nor, kak je to ti nabrit? Nabrit je off, ne?
Evropski parlament je v skrbi za svoje državljane s 468 glasovi proti 120 sprejel direktivi za boj proti terorizmu in strožji nadzor nad zunanjimi mejami Evropske unije. Pri tem se sklicujejo tudi na anketo Eurobarometra iz aprila 2016, po kateri kar 82% vprašanih želi, da Evropska unija naredi več v boju proti terorizmu. Vedno večji problem so Evropejci, ki se borijo na Bližnjem vzhodu, na to pa se vračajo domov. Direktiva za strožji nadzor nad zunanjimi mejami obvezuje države članice, da sistematično pregledujejo vsako osebo, ki prečka zunanjo mejo Evropske unije. Prav tako morajo podatke preveriti v bazah podatkov izgubljenih in najdenih dokumentov v šengenskem informacijskem sistemu in v vseh ostalih relevantnih bazah podatkov. Pregledi bodo obvezni pri prehodih po zraku, zemlji ali vodi in tako ob prihodih kot ob odhodih.
Pred glasovanjem o direktivi za boj proti terorizmu, ki je potekalo 15. februarja, je poslanka Monika Holmeier, poročevalka parlamenta za to zadevo, izjavila, da so našli primerno ravnotežje med varnostjo in spoštovanjem človekovih pravic, saj ni smisla varnosti, če ni pravic. Direktiva med drugim kriminalizira novačenje za terorizem, usposabljanje za napade, javno spodbujanje terorizma ter njegovo neposredno ali posredno zagovarjanje. Manj optimistični glede direktive pa so bili v krovni organizaciji evropskih protirasističnih organizacij. Direktivo komentira Georgina Siklosi, pristojna za odnose z javnostmi pri Evropski mreži proti rasizmu. Direktivo komentira Georgina Siklosi, pristojna za odnose z javnostmi pri Evropski mreži proti rasizmu.
So we're really concerned at the European Network Against Racism that this law could open the door to a disproportionate impact on ethnic and religious minority communities. And also could undermine other fundamental rights, such as the right to peaceful protests, the right to freedom of expression, etc. For example, the directive could criminalize behavior instead of intent. So instead of just behaviors instead of a clear intention of a terrorist act. And these behaviors potentially could have no direct link to committing a terrorist act. And so that could lead to human rights restrictions. So for example, we've seen already in countries that have introduced counterterrorism measures, such as in France, We've seen that the human rights NGOs have reported over 3,000 raids on houses, mosques, house arrests, disproportionately targeting Muslim communities. And there have only been six criminal investigations and only one trial for terrorism out of all the out of these 3,000 raids and house arrests. So you can see that that there's a disproportionality there.
Siklosi komentira tudi postopek sprejemanja direktive.
That was also a cause for concern because the directive was adopted without any consultation of civil society organizations, and also it was adopted behind closed doors, so it was only a small group of decision makers from the Parliament, from the European Commission, from the EU Council, and there was no parliamentary wide review of the text. So that today the European Parliament voted on an agreement, they didn't actually have an opportunity to have a look at the proposal and propose amendments. Today they voted the agreement and they didn't vote on any amendments. So it's quite also problematic from a democratic perspective.
S 397 glasovi proti 263 je bil sprejet tudi osnutek reforme evropskega emisijskega trga. Ta naj bi naredil evropski sistem trgovanja z emisijami bolj učinkovit. Začetek tega sistema sega v leto 2005, po njem pa podjetja dobijo dovoljenja za izpuste toplogrednih plinov. Dovoljenja so omejena, podjetja pa si jih lahko med seboj tudi prodajajo. Namen je bil spodbuditev uvedbe zelenih tehnologij, s čimer bi podjetja lahko prodala dovoljenja za izpuste ter zaslužila. Izkazalo pa se je, da je teh dovoljenj preveč in da je njihova tržna cena nizka.
Reforma predvideva 2,2-odstotno nižanje dovoljenih izpustov na leto vsaj do leta 2024. Povečali so tudi število dovoljenj, ki se prenesejo v tržno stabilnostno rezervo, da bi dvignili cene. V letu 2021 bodo izbrisali tudi za 800 milijonov dovoljenj za izpuste toplogrednih plinov v tej rezervi. Eno dovoljenje vključuje izpust ene tone ogljikovega dioksida ali take količine drugega plina, ki ima isti vpliv na okolje kot tona CO2. Kako osnutek reforme vidijo okoljevarstveniki, pove Klaus Rurik, koordinator za evropsko podnebno in energetsko politiko pri krovni organizaciji Climate Action Network Europe.
Yesterday the vote was cast, which we as like Climate Action Network wanted to push for a more ambitious reform of the ETS, and there were some overall it is to say that the outcome right now was very disappointing according to us, and we would see it as a betrayal to the Paris Agreement because there was almost no element of ambition left after the vote. So the elements that we tried to push forward to were the support of the ENVI report, that's the Duncan report that came out of the ENVI committee, and then specific elements of this, in particular the raise of the linear reduction factor, which is the factor according to which the cap decreases every year, and we wanted to have a raise from 2.2 to 2.4%. That was rejected by the Parliament. So right now there's a compromise that this LRF, this factor, remains at 2.2 and maybe be reviewed in 2024, but it's not really an obligation to raise it then. So that means that the reduction rate remains relatively low. Then another element that was also rejected was, which was not really part of the ENVI report, but was tabled by the Greens, by Bas Eickhout, was an amendment that would have introduced was called rebasing, or what we called rebasing, which would have changed the starting day or would have adjusted the starting day of the next trading period to the level of actual emissions, rather than what was foreseen in the Commission proposal, that as a starting point for the next trading phase now, the 2020 targets actually just take over, which is a bit ridiculous because member states already overshot that target. And by the decision of the European Parliament of yesterday of not rebasing the trading period, we already create an enormous extra surplus, which could have been avoided if that amendment would have passed. So these, basically these decisions to reject these two proposals were very disappointing.
Uspehe tega sistema do zdaj komentira Frida Kininger iz neprofitne organizacije Food and Water Europe.
It's been in place for over a decade now, and we did not see significant reductions of emissions in this time. If there have been emission reductions, this has to be contributed to other measures and policies than the ETS. We rather see that the ETS has been blocking and has been used and abused as an excuse not to implement proper policies, and this is why we see that it's quite dangerous. So industry and heavy polluters have been claiming that the ETS is in place. Why do we need other measures which are actually which would reduce emissions more effectively? And and this is why we would especially seeing that it's been the third round of reforms, and the reforms, as we see, have been very toothless and no strong reforms. We see that definitely there would be more benefits if ETS as a whole would be replaced by other ways of regulating emissions, and not by putting a price on pollutions and giving the right to pollute and trade this on the market.
Več o evropskem emisijskem trgu pa v kultivatorju ob petih.
Evropski poslanci so se v resoluciji izglasovanju v sredo zauzeli tudi za hitrejšo odobritev bioloških pesticidov z nizkim tveganjem, vključno s tistimi narejenimi iz bioorganizmov, feromonov ali eteričnih olj, ki bi lahko nadomestili konvencionalne, ki škodujejo okolju in zdravju. Poslanci pozivajo Evropsko komisijo naj do konca leta 2018 pripravi osnutek zakonodaje, ki bi pospešila ocenjevanje, avtorizacijo in registracijo pesticidov z nizkim tveganjem.
Evropska unija pa ni tako pazljiva pri pesticidih z ne tako nizkim tveganjem. V sredo se je pojavila tudi kritika na strani okoljevarstvenih pravnikov Client Earth, saj Evropska unija dopušča nujne izjeme prepovedanih pesticidov, ki ogrožajo čebele. Ta nujna dovoljenja so lahko izdana, kadar izbruhi škodljivcev predstavljajo neizbežno ekonomsko škodo, ki ne more biti popravljena na drugačen način. Analiza organizacije Client Earth pokaže, da 82% držav, ki je izjemno uporabilo oziroma je izjemo uporabilo, ni predstavilo nikakršnih argumentov za uporabo izjeme. Več kot polovica držav ni identificirala prizadetega območja, večina držav pa tudi ni predstavila dokazov, da bodo škodljivi pesticidi, gre predvsem za neonikotinoide, uporabljeni v omejenih in nadzorovanem obsegu. Slaba polovica vseh zahtev za izjeme je bila podana strani industrije.
Evropski parlament je s 408 glasovi proti 254 glasovi sprejel prostotrgovinski sporazum s Kanado, imenovan CETA. V ponedeljek je civilna inicijativa Stop TTIP predala 3,5 milijona podpisov proti sprejetju CETE Evropskemu parlamentu, kar pa ni zaleglo. Med slovenskimi poslanci so v sporazumu nasprotovali Igor Šoltes, Tanja Fajon in Ivo Vajgl. Evropski poslanec Milan Zver je podpise proti CETI odpravil, češ, da če bi izbrali oziroma zbirali podpise za podporo, bi bilo slednjih gotovo več. Pred dokončno uveljavitvijo tega sporazuma ga morajo potrditi še nacionalni parlamenti vseh držav članic.
Britov je pripravil Vid.